Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechiros Daf Yud Beis. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today we begin from the top of Daf Yud Beis. You will notice a Mishnah. The Mishnah reads, Ein Poidin, Loi Be'egel V'lo B'chayo. One is not to redeem a firstborn male donkey with a calf, nor with an undomesticated animal, Loi B'shchuto, nor with a slaughtered animal, even if the slaughtered animal happens to be a seh, which is the type of animal designed for redeeming Peter Hamor, the firstborn male donkey. Nevertheless, that's only if it's alive. Veloi betrefa, and not with an animal that has a trefa status. Rashi's example is where its legs were cut off from a high point on its leg. Velo bekilayim, nor with a mixed bred animal. For example, a sheep and goat that mated and produced an offspring. Velo b'koi, not with a redemption, should not take place with a koi. A koi is a creature whose status is in doubt. Sofek behemo, sofek chaya. Rabbi Eliezer matir b'kilayim, b'pnei shehu seh. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with the Tanakam, with the first opinion on the issue of the use of kilayim, the animal that's a product of the mating of a sheep and goat. And why does Rabbi Eliezer say kilayim is okay, is acceptable? Mipnei shehu seh, because from either parent, the father or mother, it is a seh, namely from the sheep side or the goat side. Both sheep and goat are categorized as seh, and the Torah says that the redemption of firstborn male donkey, the Petah Hamor, is accomplished through a seh. So Rabbi Eliezer accepts kilayim, however agrees with regard to the koi, the oiser b'koi, v'tnei shehu sofek, because it is a doubt what its status is. Nosnoi l'koyen, if an owner of a firstborn male donkey, of a Peter Chamor, gives the Chamor itself to a Kohen. In other words, the expectation is really that the owner redeems the donkey onto a, transfers its status, or releases the Peter Chamor status by redeeming it onto a sheep and then giving that sheep to a Kohen. In this case, he gave the donkey itself to a Kohen. So our Mishnah says, Ein HaKohen Rashoi L'Kaimoi Ad She'afrish Seh Taftov. A Kohen is not allowed to keep a firstborn donkey in his possession until the Kohen himself sets aside a Seh. In other words, the Kohen will have to do the act of redemption. The Gemara. Masnisin Moni. Our Mishnah is authored by whom? Answer, Ben Bagbag, he. The author of our Mishnah is Ben Bagbag, as will be seen in the following Tanaic source. Ben Bag, Disanyo, Ben Bagbag, Oimer. Ne'mar kan se, it says in the context of redeeming Peter Chamor, the word se. V'ne'mar lahalon, in the context of a Korban Pesach, the word se. Ma lahalon, Prat l'chol hashemos halalu. Just like in the context of the Korban Pesach, all of these are excluded. For example, the kilayim, the trefa, the egel, chaya, all of those are excluded. Afkan, so too in the case of Petah Hamor, prat l'chol hashemos halalu. So too, all of these are excluded. Well, you'll ask, Imala Halon, if we're already into comparing to the Korban Pesach, so how far should we go in this comparison? Imala Halon, Zohar, Tomim, Uben Shana. In the case of the Korban Pesach, there are additional standards. In other words, it has to be a male. It has to be the sheep or goat that are used for a Korban Pesach has to be male. It has to be unblemished, that's Tumim, and it has to be within a year of age. Af Kan, are you going to say the same with regard to the animal serving as redemption for the Peter Chamor, Zohar Tumim, Uben Shana, that it should have those standards? Talmud Lomar, so we answer, not so. Tifteh, Tifteh, Ribah. The term Tifteh appears a couple of times in the case of the Peter Chamor, and through this repetition we know to include. Well, the Gemara asks, E Tifteh, Tifteh, Ribah, if in fact we're including as a result of this these extra expressions, then afilu kol haninami, then why not go all the way and say that for pidyon peter chamor, an egel, a calf, a chaya, and the trefa, all of those would be okay. After all, you're willing to include, as a result of tifteh tifteh, you're going to include even a female, even blemished, even above a year, so go all the way. The Gemara answers him, Cain, if so, that you're saying go all the way, then se my ahani le. Then of what benefit was the word comparison with the Korban Pesach, where there are restrictions? So after all is said and done, we have as follows. There is a partial comparison to the Korban Pesach, insofar as excluding the items mentioned in our Mishnah. However, the comparison to Korban Pesach doesn't go all the way, and that we learn from the Tifdeh, Tifdeh expressions, so as to not be limited to Zohar, Tumim, and Ben Shana, like is the case by the Korban Pesach. As we go on in the Gemara, we now notice some new markings. We see, as you scan ahead on the page, a diamond, you see a double underline with dots in it, and you see some slashed underlining, and you even see some dot underlining. All of these markings have significance. We attempt to explain them under our keys that we provide per new sugya. In this case, in the outside margin, we have a nosei and mivneh note combined. Nosei represents a topic heading, and mivneh represents a structural note. Throughout the Shas Ozer, the Shas which is the cornerstone of our Gemara marking system, this is the Shas that appears on your screen, we feature, as each new sugi appears, an appropriate title and structural note when an issue of marking arises. So here we have that in the outside margin, the nosei, topic heading, mivneh, structural note combined. The diamond is featured, ibaya laho, sidra shel sheilois. We'll have a series of questions, and you can see that the series starts here and actually continues till Amid Beis. There are a series of questions, mahu lifdois, and this expression, mahu lifdois, has the double underline with dots in it, and the question is, mahu lifdois, can one use for pidyon, ben pekua, nidme, psule hamugdoshim, and an omid beis, bevehemas shvius. Can one use as his sheep? We're of course going to be focusing on the use of a sheep or goat, which is a set. A ben pekua is an animal that was found inside its mother when the mother was slaughtered. We're dealing with an animal that came from a pregnant sheep or goat, and when the mother was slaughtered, this one had not yet been born, but it was had a full-term pregnancy, and it was taken out alive and allowed to develop. Now, this animal, as far as Hilchus Shechita are concerned, in the case that the creature was found inside a properly slaughtered mother, so according to the Shitas Rabbonon, as opposed to Rabbi Meir, this animal does not need Shechita. The Shechita that was done for the mother is sufficient. So that even though you have a live, frisky animal walking around, it does not need a regular Shechita. The case of Nidme is a situation where a sheep or a goat bore an offspring that didn't look like the parent. It looked different. Even though the parents were of one variety, the offspring looked like something else. Psulei Hamukdashim is a situation where an animal had once been dedicated, a sheep or goat in our case, was once dedicated as a korban, and it developed a blemish. It can no longer be used as a sacrifice, but it's in general, it's slaughtered, and a person eats it wherever he lives. An animal like that, a psulei hamukdashim, can it be used as the pidyon for a peter chamor? And finally, in the list of questions, we will ask about a sheep or goat that were purchased in exchange for fruits of the Shemitah year, the sabbatical year. Fruits that grow during a Shemitah year, the Torah says you shall eat them, not use them in commerce. Is the redemption of a firstborn donkey considered a form of commerce? Don't forget that in exchange for the pidyon, the owner of this firstborn male donkey, the peter chamor, as a result of doing the pidyon, he will now be able to keep it and not break its neck. So he, through pidyon, he gains a chamor, he gains a donkey. So the act of using a behemoth that was acquired through shvius produce, when we know that shvius produce is limited to eating and not commercial purposes, so this might look problematic, might be problematic. So we'll have to deal with that when we get there. We have an additional marking. It's not a very bold marking, but it conveys a certain point in this sugya. You will notice expressions under each one of the questions, a dot underline. And we've written here, Bechol echod mehasheelois, ha-gemora mevia de'o sha'alibei lo yishe'alim. In each one of the questions that are raised, the Gemara will point out that the question is not being asked according to a certain opinion, a certain Tana that appears under each question, and it changes. It's not a particular one opinion that runs through each one of the questions, but it's a separate name under each one of the questions, according to whom the question is not going to be raised. This will become clearer, of course, as we go through the sugya. So now we start the series of questions. The first question lasts a number of lines, hence we used a long question marking. You can see the shin that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line, indicating that all of these lines constitute the question. Ibaya leho mahu liftois beben pekua. Can one redeem the peter chamor with a sheep or goat that happened to be found inside a slaughtered parent? Aliba de Rabbi Meir lo tibayaloch. This question is not going to be raised according to Rabbi Meir. The cave of the Amar Rabbi Meir ben Pakua ta'un shchita. Since Rabbi Meir is known to say that a ben Pakua requires its own slaughtering, even though its mother had been slaughtered, that does not have an effect on this live embryo that experienced a full term pregnancy. And therefore, since it needs its own shechita, se me'al yahu, it's considered a full-fledged se, and that's what pidyon is done through. Elo ki tibaya loch, when is there room to ask this question? Aliba de Rabbonon di Amri, according to the Rabbonon that say, shechitas imo mitaroso. They are of the opinion, they disagree with Rabbi Meir, and say that this ben pakua is that fetus found inside a mother that was shechted, that the shechting of the mother, the slaughtering of the mother, mitaroso, enables this offspring to be eaten. Even though it's now alive and walking around and developed, it nevertheless does not need shechita. The mother's shechita was enough. So how do we look at this? Aleph, you see a little aleph, and then further on the line, a base. It's aleph oy dilma base. Two sides of this analysis. Do we say kebisra b'dikula adami, that the ben pakua, being that it doesn't need shechita, it's no different than a piece of meat in a basket. And as such, you would not be able to use it for pidyon. Pidyon, as we saw in the Mishnah, cannot be done through shechuta. Oy dilma, kevon da hashtomi aroid vazil. On the other hand, since it is currently running around back and forth, se karina babe, by virtue of its physical characteristics, not its halachic status, but its physical characteristics, it appears to be a se. Marzutra Omar ain podin, Rav Ashi Omar podin. We have a machlokus between Marzutra and Rav Ashi. Marzutra is saying it's not allowed, and Rav Ashi says it is allowed to be used. Omale Rav Ashi lemarzutra. My daitoch, what is the basis of your opposition? The yalfis mi pesach, is it because you are associating redemption of Petach Hamor with Korban Pesach? And we know that Ben Pakua is posel for the Korban Pesach, it falling under the category known as Yoytze Doifen, a non-normal birth canal emergence of the creature. A Yotze Dofen is a cesarean, a C-section, a cesarean birth. In this case, the Ben Pakua is found inside the slaughtered mother. And we know that Ben Pakua, well, we know Yotze Dofen is not acceptable by a Korban Pesach, and is that what is resulting in Marzutra's opposition? Well then, Ima Lahalon Zohar Tome Ben Shona, if it is so, if like by the Korban Pesach, a male, it must be male, tumim, unblemished, and ben shana, within 1 year, afkan, so too by Peter Chamor, pidyon Peter Chamor, zohar tamu ben shana, are you going to say that? So that's the question posed to Marzutra. The assumption being that Marzutra would not say that you have these restrictions by the Peter Chamor. So Marzutra would answer, tifte riba. I'm not going to restrict the Pidyon Petach Hamor to those other Korban Pesach standards, because I have this riboy, I have these expressions that repeat themselves that enable me to include more things, more than what is acceptable for a Korban Pesach. Well then, itifte tifte riba afilu ben pakua nami. So Ravashi says, well, if you're going to go with the tifte riba idea, then why not allow ben pakua also? So Marzutra will answer, im kain se se mayahani le. So then, of what benefit will the se se, the word comparison to the Korban Pesach, be if I'm going to include the blemished animal and the above a year old and a female as well? So as the Gemara says, if you're saying tifte riba, so you should include the ben paku also. So Marzutra will answer that if I'm going to go that far to include the ben paku, then of what value will se be? Just like I have to compare it to Korban Pesach. Se is a means of comparing to Korban Pesach. So where will that be manifest if I'm going to go so far as to include Ben Pakua? So it comes out like this, that according to Marzutra, in order to see the comparison to Korban Pesach, I have to exclude the Ben Pakua. As far as Rav Ashi is concerned, there still are other halachas in which I can see a comparison to the Korban Pesach, and I don't need to include the Ben Pakua as something excluded as well. Ibaya laho, mahu liftois benidme. What about the redemption of the Petach Hamor by using a nigme. A nigme, as we mentioned in our introduction, is an animal who doesn't look like its parents. Aliba de Rebbe Eliezer loti boyalach. As far as Shitas Rebbe Eliezer is concerned, there is no basis for even asking this question. The answer is obvious. Hashto bekilayim parkina bemidme bibaya. After all, if Rebbe Eliezer is willing, is lenient in allowing to use a mixed bred animal where they're two different parents, and yet he accepts it, being that both parents come under the category of seh, well, by nidbeh all the more so, because in the case of nidbeh, both parents are of one strain. It's just that the offspring looks like something else. So if you're willing to use a product of different parents, he'd certainly be willing to use the product of that which comes from the same kind of, so both parents are from the same variety. Ki tibay aloch aliba de rabbonon. This question is raised according to the rabbonon as follows. Bekilayim hu de lo parkinon. It might be that bekilayim they don't accept, they don't allow parkinon's redemption. Benidme parkinon, but nidme they will allow. Oidilma lo shno, or maybe there is no difference. Namely, just like kilayim is not accepted, so too nidme will not be accepted. Toshma. You'll notice a triangle appears, and a few lines later, an inverted triangle. These triangles are explained in the Mivneh heading, in the outside margin. You can see a triangle is featured, and we've written Nisyonis Lifshot HaShe'ela Ma'al Liftois Benidba. These are attempts to resolve the question of redemption through the use of Nidmeh. With the point facing up, that will indicate that yes, you can use Nidmeh, but later in the Gemara with the point facing down, there will be an attempt to say Lo Podin. And in each case, the Gemara will have a response. So let us now start this attempts to answer. Toshma. This is we call this an answer. It will be rejected, but we're calling it a long answer, and hence you see a tuff that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. Four lines of Gemara dedicated to this response. So the Gemara says, Toshma, Pora, Shiyoldo, Min, Eiz, Ein, Poiden. A cow that gives birth to an offspring that looks like a goat, so it cannot be used for pidyon. Now here the parent is something that's out of the realm, that's not acceptable in the first place. We infer from this example the following. Ha, Rachel Shiyoldo Min Eiz. A Rachel, a sheep, that gave birth to an offspring looking like a goat, poidin, you would be allowed. Now this would be the case of nidme. In other words, you have the mother, a sheep, the offspring looking like a goat. In other words, the offspring looks different from the mother. But the mother is itself something that is kosher or acceptable for pidyon purposes. Money, who will the author of this point be? Ilema Rebbe Eliezer. If it were authored by Rebbe Eliezer, well, ha bikilayim nami parkinon. This would be anticlimactic because he allows even a mixed bred offspring. Certainly, he would allow the product of a rochel, something that comes from a rochel sheep parents that just looks different. So there would be no news, so to speak, in this inference if it were according to Rebbe Eliezer. Elolav rabbonon he. Rather, this must be according to the rabbonon, and we see from this that nidme is acceptable. Loi. Here the Gemara rejects. Leolam Rebbe Eliezer. This source is taught according to Rebbe Eliezer, and we're to learn the source on its own, namely without making any inferences from it. He gufa komash molon. It is this point alone that needs to be conveyed according to Rebbe Eliezer, and not for any inference purposes. And what's the point? The poro shieldim in eis ein poidin lo temo zil abasre didei v'hai eis ma'alihu elo zil boser imei v'hai egelhu. Rebbe Eliezer has a need to teach this. In other words, even though Rabbi Eliezer holds that a kilayim is acceptable, here this is not acceptable. The case of the offspring that looks like a goat coming from a cow parent. And what's the point? Reading the Gemara again, he gufo kamashmon de parshil de min eis ein poldin, and a parah that bore a goat, you cannot use the goat looking creature for redemption. And lo tamo zil abasrei didei, don't think that identity is determined by the offspring, by it naming the offspring. And if you were to have said that, well, then you would have said, hi, Ismail, you, oh, well, the offspring looks like a goat, so it's a goat. Don't say that. El-Azil Basr Ime, rather, follow the mother for identification purposes. The high, and this offspring, though it looks like a goat, is really a agil, it's a calf. It's coming from a mother. It's a calf. And a calf, no one will say, is acceptable for pidyon peter chamor. It should be noted, but parenthetically, that when we speak about things being unacceptable for pidyon peter chamor, generally speaking, we're saying they're unacceptable to serve the role of a seh. Continuing in the Gemara, Toshma. As we pointed out before, here you have an inverted triangle. The first approach, the attempt was in the direction of saying that nidmeh would be acceptable. Here, the approach is going to be that nidmeh is not acceptable. However, till we get to the point that is of interest to us, it will take a number of lines of Gemara. It won't become obvious like what the point of this discussion is until we get to the first wide line of the Gemara. So as we are going to learn a source, the Gemara is going to ask after this source, what is the purpose of the halacha taught here? You will notice diamonds with colored in tips. These are a new series. And you'll notice under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin, the purpose of the diamonds will be Shlavim. These are stages, Lefaneach, to reveal, to decode, Lemai, Kotoni, why or for what purpose is this source teaching this phrase, Ezu Domi Lekilayim, the Shavua Rabbanan Ki Kilayim. It's an expression that we'll explain when we get there, but we're dealing right now with the structure of the Gemara. So we'll see a source. We will try to understand what's the point of the source. Eventually, we will come to saying that the point of the source has bearing on our topic, namely Peter Chamor. And the point will be that you cannot use a Nidmeh. That will be the point. And after that, though, the Gemara will go on to reject this conclusion. But in the meantime, you can see that the direction things are taking will be to lead up to saying that Nidmeh will not be acceptable for Pidyon Peter Chamor. So now, in the Gemara, Toshma, Detoni, Rabba Bar Shmuel. Rabba Bar Shmuel has a Tanaic source that he teaches. You'll notice immediately there's use of brackets in our markings, and this is explained by the note that accompanies this in the margin. There's a little star. Haloshon besoch sograim elu, the text within these angular brackets, eno miduyak, is not precise. Vagamora meiro akach besoch. So Graham Elu, the Gemara will point out this problem within the internal curlicue brackets that will appear. So as you read a source like this, technically speaking, we could skip the first two lines if you want to see what the source is saying. And you would begin with the phrase, two lines from here, Ezehu domi lekilayim deshavu arbona kilkilayim. Realizing that the true contents, the true meaning of the source will be understood only two lines from now, we'll go back to the beginning of the source, realizing that this is not really the focus of our sugya, but and we have to deal with this inaccurate phraseology before we get to the real content. So we the Gemara says that as far as our question is concerned, can you be podeh with a nidme? So let us bring this source that Rabbah Bar Shmuel teaches from the beginning of the source. Ezehu kilayim. What is meant by kilayim, or what is an example of kilayim? Rochel shiyolda min ez v'aviv se. A mixed bred offspring whose mother is a sheep. It's a Rochel, is a sheep that Yolda, that bore a min ez. And it says the aviv se, and the father is a sheep. Well, the Gemara jumps on this, and that's what you see in the in these curly Q brackets. This is an attempt to isolate the Gemara's wonderment concerning this opening text. Aviv seh, kilayim hu, where the father is a sheep, do you call it kilayim? In this case, what have we described? We have a mother and father that are both sheep. That's not a mixed breeding. Rather, nidmehu, the situation described here where you have both parents, sheep, offspring looking like a goat, that's the classic case of nidmeh. Ela, rather, what is this source saying? It can't be opening up and asking what is kilayim and then giving me a case of two sheep that mate. That's not kilayim. Rather, ezehu domi lekilayim. What is an example of something that's like kilayim? Deshavua rabbonan ki kilayim, that the rabbonan view it halachically like kilayim. Rachel Shioldom in A's the Oviv Se, an offspring that comes out looking like a goat. That's a nidmeh, but both of its parents are sheep. So this source is as asking, what situation can be described as similar to kilayim? In other words, it's not actual kilayim, but halachically would be treated like kilayim. So what is the case that's going to be treated like kilayim? The case of nidmeh. That having been said, what realm of law does this apply to? You're saying that we're going to treat a nidmeh like kilayim, but with regard to what? Lemai, the Gemara asks. And here we have a series of stages in order to determine what is this source, what area of halacha is this source referring to. E lekodshim, if this is regarding kodshim, which is the realm of sacrifices, what is acceptable, what's unacceptable as a sacrifice? Well, I don't have to tell you that nidmeh is like kilayim, because nidmeh has its own is excluded on its own merit, so to speak, or on its own basis, not as a function of being compared to something else, being compared to kilayim, but rather mehecha demimet kilayim mehasa mimet nidmeh, from the same source, from the same pasuk, we should say that kilayim is excluded. In that same pasuk, there's a separate phrase that deals with nidmeh. So it would not be accurate to say that nidmeh is unacceptable as a sacrifice because it's like kilayim, but rather it's unacceptable because a pasuk excludes it on its own. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source in which the pasuk is featured, shor oy kesev, prat the kilayim. Those expressions exclude kilayim from being acceptable as a sacrifice. The pasuk says, "Oy eiz prat l'nidmeh." That is what excludes nidmeh. So just like kilayim is excluded from shor kesev, so nidmeh is excluded from oeiz. So just to review this point again, the exclusion of Nidme is not by virtue of the fact that it happens to be similar to Kilayim, but rather because it has its own pasuk, just like Kilayim has its separate pasuk, separate phrase. Ilebechor, is it possible that the source that we read before is dealing with Bechor, firstborn animals, and it would be telling me that a firstborn that looks like a Nidmeh would not be acceptable to be brought as a Bechor sacrifice? Well, Ach Bechor Shor, Omar Rachmona. Ad Shiehe Hu Shor, Ubechoro Shor. There's a separate pasuk that excludes a Nidmeh. Once again, not by virtue of the fact that it's like Kilayim, but because it has its own pasuk which excludes it. The pasuk says that when is something considered a bechor for sacrificial purposes? When the offspring looks like the parent. E lemaiser, if it's for excluding a nidme to be brought as the maiser behema, the tithing one does from behemas, the one-tenth of that particular year's births of animals he brings as a korban called maiser behema. Well, maybe you'll say that Nidmeh is excluded by this comparison to Kilayim. No. Tachas, tachas, mikotshim gomar. By virtue of a word comparison between Maiser Behema and the realm of Kotshim, that's how we know that Nidmeh would not be acceptable as Maiser Behema. Not by virtue of the fact that we treat Nidmeh like we treat Kilayim. Elo lepeper chamor. Rather, it's for our realm. In other words, just like we don't use Kilayim for the redemption of a firstborn male donkey, so too we will not use a Nidmeh. So as we indicated before when we presented our inverted triangle, that the thrust of this section of Gemara would be to show that Peter Chamor cannot be redeemed, cannot be, let's emphasize that, cannot be redeemed through a Nidmeh. The Gemara rejects this and says, Loi, le'oilam le'maiser. The source that was excluding the Nidmeh from serving as a Maiser Behema, ukegoin shiesh boi miksas simonim. And the case is that the Nidmeh has some signs, that some characteristics that resemble its mother. It's not a total different looking offspring. It has some characteristics that are like the mother. And we should point out that in a case like that, where you have miksa simonim like the mother, in the case of Bechor, it would be considered a Bechor. It would be considered a firstborn with the halachas that are appropriate for firstborn. It would not be excluded on the grounds of Nidmeh. In other words, once again, partial simonim, miksas simonim, keep it within the realm of Bechor. Right now we're talking about Maiser Behema. So the chidush is as follows. Mahu detema. Without this Tanaic source, I would have thought ha'avora ha'avora mi bechor gomar, that we are to learn a word comparison between Maiser Behema and Bechor, where you find a word resembling ha'avora in both topics. And if that would be the case, I would say that a Nidmeh with miksas simonim would be chayav, just like in the case of Bechor, will be chayav in Maiser Behema. Komash Molon, this source tells us that rather tachas tachas mikodshim gomar. We're going to opt to learn the word comparison of tachas tachas between Maiser Behema and kodshim, giving it a kilayim status, thereby unacceptable. Unacceptable is Maiser Behema, just like it would be unacceptable as a sacrifice. So miksas simonim is not a saving factor, so to speak, with regard to meiser behema. And that we learn from a word comparison which is reflected in this Tanaic source that we have been discussing. So as far as our sugya is concerned, we raised the question about can you redeem Petach Hamor with Nidmeh? We don't have a definitive conclusion till this point, and we've reached the end of the sugya. Ibaya Laho, new question. Mahu Liftois Bipsule Hamugdoshim. Can I take a firstborn donkey, a Petach Hamor, and redeem it through a sheep or goat that had once been dedicated as sacrifices, but they developed a blemish, and as such are not acceptable anymore as being brought as a sacrifice? Once again, as we've seen till now, these questions are raised, but not according to all opinions. Aliba de Rabbi Shimon lo tibayaloch. According to the approach of Rabbi Shimon, there is no room for asking this question. Kevan di Omar, since Rabbi Shimon is known to say mutter bahano, that a peter chamor, even before its redemption, is something you can benefit from. It's chulin hu. It's considered chulin, it's considered the mundane. And as such, there would be no problem of redeeming a Petach Hamor, which doesn't have any isur, any specific prohibitions associated with it, and transferring its status or redeeming it onto a Psulei HaMukdoshim. We have to note that Psulei HaMukdoshim does have restrictions associated with it. Even though you can't bring it as a sacrifice, nevertheless, it's not a freebie that do with it whatever you like. There are restrictions. But since the Petach Hamor is considered chulin, and I'm going to redeem it using a Psulei HaMukdoshim, I don't get involved with a problem called Isur Chal Al Isur. So there is no problem of Isur Chal Al Isur, of one Isur being attached to something that has pre-existing restrictions, because I am not attaching something with any restrictions onto the Psulei HaMukdoshim. Because as Reb Shimon says, according to Reb Shimon, of course, the Petach Hamor has no restrictions. However, Kiti Boyalah Chaliba Derbi Yehuda, the question concerning the Pidyon Petach Hamor using Psulei HaMukdoshim does arise within Rabbi Yehuda's approach to the matter. Diomar Osubano, he holds that a Petach Hamor before its redemption is something forbidden to benefit from. Therefore, we ask, my, what will the halacha be according to Rabbi Yehuda to redeem a Petach Hamor using Psulei HaMukdoshim? Two sides of the question, and you can see we've noted them with Aleph, and then Odilma Beis. The Odilma we squiggle on the line, the squiggle on the line used for the point of transition. So, do we say, Kevon de Osir Bahano, since the Petach Hamor is Osir to benefit from prior to its redemption, Ein Isur Chal Al Isur, I can't allow the prohibition of the Petach Hamor to be attached to the Psulei HaMukdoshim that have their own all pre-existing Isurim, restrictions. Oy Dilma, or another approach could be that Kevan de Lo Tofis Pidyono, unlike many other cases of redemption, in the case of the redemption of Pidyon of Petach Hamor, it is not so that the Petach Hamor status attaches itself in a manifest way to the seh. In other words, the seh that is given to the Kohen does not have any sanctity. It does not have any restrictions associated with it. That's called lo tofes pidyono. So since the Petach Hamor, though it itself is forbidden, that prohibition doesn't attach itself to the seh, Afkue Isura Bialmahu. This redemption is simply designed to remove the restriction, to erase the restriction, so to speak. And as a result of that, it's not a problem of Isser Chalal Isser. In other words, the Isser that's on the donkey is not being attached to the Psula Mekdoshim. So we see two approaches. The one approach is emphasizing the fact that you're starting off with a point of restriction, the Petach Hamor. The second approach says, as far as the end result is concerned, there is no manifestation of the Petach Hamor restriction after redemption. So, how to go? Omar Rav Mori Breda Rav Kana. Rav Mori says, Mi Zutar Mai Dechsiv Behu Kitzvi V'chayol. Is it to be minimized what the Torah says about Psulei HaMukdashim? The Torah says that Psulei HaMukdashim are viewed as these Chayos, Tzvi and Ayol. Those are names of Chayos. Chayos opposed to Behema. Those are kosher variety animals. What the Torah is basically saying is that when you slaughter a Psulei HaMukdashim, you don't bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, you eat it as you would eat a Chaya. Chaya is an animal that you don't bring to the Beis HaMikdash as a sacrifice either. However, we're going to go further with this analogy. The Torah compares the Psul HaMikdashim to Tzvi V'Ayol. Ma Tzvi V'Ayol ain poiden bo, just like Tzvi V'Ayol, being that they're Chayos, they are not something you can use for redemption. Af Psul HaMikdashim, even a sheep, let us say, that had been dedicated as a sacrifice but developed a blemish, it is like, it's considered legally like Tzvi V'Ayol, and therefore ein poiden. Hashto de osis lahachi, now that we've come to this point, well, le Rebbe Shimon Nami, before we said according to Rebbe Shimon there would be no problem of being poda onto Psula Mekdoshim, we're now going to reverse that and say, according to Rebbe Shimon as well, even though the Petach Hamor itself is something one is allowed to benefit from, Tzvi V'Ayol Ksiv Behu, it is nevertheless called Tzvi V'Ayol. It's considered a Chaya, and therefore it would not be allowed for the purpose of, or to be used in the role of redeeming a Petach Hamor. And now we come to our fourth question in the series of questions of Mahu Liftois. Ibayalaho, Mahu Liftois the Vehemas Shvius. Once again, we're talking about the redemption of a firstborn male donkey. And I want to know, can a Behemas Shvius, a sheep that was acquired through the exchange of Shvius produce, these are fruits grown during the Shemitah year, that grew during the Shemitah year, can I, in exchange for those fruits, I acquired a sheep, can I use that sheep for the redemption of my Petach Hamor? Before addressing the question directly, there is a bit of an introduction to the issue. You notice triangles around the words Vadai and Sofek. At the side of our Gemara, under our Mivneh heading, we feature the triangle and indicate it's around the words Vadai and Sofek. Pidyon Petach Hamor Vadai versus Sofek. Al Yedei Se Shenikne BePerush Shvius. The term Vadai and Sofek is going on the Petach Hamor. If it's a definite firstborn donkey, in other words, it wasn't born, let us say, as a twin birth with a female as well, and in that case, we wouldn't know if it's a definite firstborn donkey, but let us say we have a singular male offspring, first birth from a donkey. That's called a vadai. So, vadai, a definite firstborn donkey, lo tibay aloch, there would be no question about its redemption through a behemas shvius. Why? It's obvious that you would not be allowed to do it. The Torah says li'ochlo, that the Peros Shvias, and anything that's exchanged for them, is for eating purposes alone. In other words, fruit that grows during the Shemitah year, one is not allowed to conduct commerce with them. It's only for eating purposes. And that's what's meant by L'Ochla, which is from the Pasuk, that's a word from the Pasuk. L'Ochla Amar Rachmana, V'loy L'Shara, not for commercial use. Redeeming a firstborn male donkey, in effect, is a means of acquiring it, of practically purchasing it. Prior to the redemption, it's something that you cannot benefit from, certainly according to Rabbi Yehuda. And after the redemption, you now can use it for whatever you like. So you have, in effect, acquired it. So if I were to use a behemas shvius for the pidyon of a vadai petach hamor, I would be in violation of this rule of shvius, namely, la'achla. La'achla v'lo l'schora. Ki tiboy aloch safek. The question is asked when you're dealing with a safek petach hamor. V'aliba de Rabbi Shimon lo tibay aloch. You'll notice once again the use of these dots to show, to emphasize that according to this particular opinion, the question is not raised. Why? De les le safek. Rashi explains this. Let us look at Rashi. V'aliba de Rabbi Shimon lo tibay aloch. De lididei lo misboi lefrushi tle lafgu isurei. Lo yoyiv le lekohen. E lo yoyiv le lekohen. According to Rabbi Shimon, there is no need to even separate a tle, a sheep, to remove the iser. Because if you're not going to give it to a kohen, which is in fact the case by a safek, that I don't give it to a kohen, do Rabbi Shimon matir peter chamor bahano. Don't forget, Rabbi Shimon allows one to benefit from a vadai peter chamor as well. So in a safek peter chamor, there isn't any hano'a consideration to begin with. As we just said, even in a vadai case, even in a certain firstborn, there is no hano'a consideration. And if I'm not going to be giving the tleh to a kohen, so there's no need to separate one in the first place. So therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, since there's no hano'a issue or isur removal, there isn't going to be any separation of a tle in the first place. So there's no question. The question doesn't get started if you're dealing with a safek petach hamor. And the safek petach hamor, there isn't any transfer ritual to begin with. Transfer meaning a separate redemption ritual onto a sheep. Kiti bo aloch aliba de Rabbi Yehuda mai. The question comes up according to Rabbi Yehuda, and once again two sides of the question. Kevon de mafrish tle, since he sets aside a tle for the purpose of removing the sofek yisur, vehu laatzmo, he will keep the tle because it is a matter of doubt concerning momentous, and in doubts concerning financial issues, things stay in their existing chazaka, their existing status. La'ochla karino bay, since he's going to be keeping the sheep for himself, he'll keep it and he'll be able to eat it. He can slaughter it and eat it, so he'll be fulfilling the role of shvius. And no problem, no violation, because, as we just said, he'll separate the sheep and keep it for himself, he'll be able to eat it. Oy Dilma, kevon de kamada lo mifka isure lo mishteri, or it could be that as long as you haven't set aside the sheep, so it's the petach hamor, the safek petach hamor, remains forbidden to benefit from. Kischora domi, it's like schora, it's like commerce. In other words, but the issue of the sheep in this case, though I will be keeping it for myself, but by separating, by setting aside the sheep for redemption of this suffake, I am in effect accomplishing the removal of the prohibition. So that is like a commercial act, where I'm, let us say, changing the status from one state to another. I'm changing it from a state of prohibited to a state of allowed. So that's like a commercial gesture, and therefore it would be a problem. Ta shma. So let us see, by continuing in the Gemara, we can provide an answer. The Omar of Chizda, Behemas Shvius, Ein Poidin Bo Es Havadai, Avo Poidin Bo Es Hasofek. The sheep acquired through the exchange of produce of the seventh year, one is not allowed to use such a sheep for the redemption of a definite firstborn chamor, a definite petah chamor, but one can use the behemah shvius for the redemption of a suffek petah chamor. Well, that answers our question. The house marking that we see around Rav Chisda is simply to highlight the fact that we have a couple of statements of Rav Chisda regarding behemah shvius. Now we go to another comment of Rav Chisda regarding behemah shvius, which is not relevant to the issue of Petr Hamor, but is connected with the issue of behemah shvius. The Omer of Chisda, behemah shvius, one, ptura min habechora, two, v'chayeves b'matonas. If you have an animal that you acquired through the exchange of perush shvius, and it then bears a firstborn offspring, that is not going to be treated as a bechor. It won't be brought as a sacrifice, as a firstborn ordinarily is. Chayeves me'atonas, that when you slaughter this behemah shvius that you acquired, the zrua l'chaim v'keva, the arm, the jaw, and the stomach are to be given to a kohen. Those are the matnos kahuna that are referred to here. Those are sections of an animal, every chulin animal that's slaughtered. The Gemara now goes over these two points with explanations. Ptura min habechora, why is it exempt from bechora? La'ochla omar rachmona, the Torah says by perish shvius, or by shvius, it says la'ochla, that you shall eat it, and v'lo l'sreifa, not burn it. It's a very similar type of drasha that we had before of lachla v'lo l'schora. We say here lachla v'lo l'sreifa, not for burning. You see, when you bring a sacrifice, a bechor sacrifice, the innards of that animal are put on the mizbeach. They are burnt. And if you were to bring a bechor of a behemah shvius, you would be violating this aspect of perish shvius, of burning them. You're not allowed to burn them. So the Torah precludes the behemah shvius from ever being brought as a bechor. V'chayeves v'matonas, why? D'lo ochlo karino bei. It's part of the eating. The kohen will be eating the limbs that you are giving to him as matonas. So it's in consistency with the rules of shvius. Meisvei. The Gemara raises an objection. We just got finished saying that there will be exemption. When you're dealing with behema shvius, there will be an exemption by virtue of the fact that shvius is la'ochla v'lo l'sreifa. The Gemara is going to ask, from a case of dough that was made from shvius produce, the challah tithe must be removed. And if one eats shvius dough without removing the challah, there is a severe penalty, a punishment associated with that. But you might ask, we know concerning challah, if it becomes tome, it is to be burnt. Well, burning shvius dough would be in violation of the rules of shvius. So could it not be argued that shvius dough is excluded from the challah obligation? So why would it be that if one eats untithed shvius dough, should he be chayav misa, as the source will tell us? And yet we see that there is a chiyuv challah. So it must be that we don't darshan this la'ochla v'lo l'sreifa, and then it would come out that a behemas Shvius should be chayov in Bechor. And it shouldn't bother us that the innards are burnt. Now, the Gemara. Meisvei. Ha'echel me'isas shvius. If one eats from shvius do'ad shelo hurmo chalosa, prior to the chalo tithe being removed, the chalo is the name of the tithe removed from, separated from dough and eventually given to a kohen. If one eats from the dough without this tithe removed, chayav misa, he is guilty and subject to death at the hands of Shomayim. V'amai, why should there be any guilt associated with this in the first place? Kevon de'ilu mitamyo, if the challah would become tome bas sreifahi, it's something that would have to be burnt. La'ochlam rachmona v'lo l'sreifah. And if you're dealing with shvius dough, you would be in violation of taking that tome dough and burning it. Yet we see that dough is chayav and challah, and it doesn't seem to bother us the fact that it is l'sreifa. If that be the case, so the firstborn from a behemah shvius should also be chayav in bechorah, and we shouldn't be bothered by the fact that its innards are put on the mizbeach for burning. The Gemara says, "Shaini hocha." The case of challah is different. Dichtiv l'doy roi seichem. For it is a mitzvah that's binding for all generations, which is mashma even during the Shemitah year. Tanyo nami hochi. Minayin loyecha misas shvius ad shelo hurmo chalosa shechayav misa. From where do we know that if one eats from shvius dough prior to the removal of the chalot tithe, he is chayav misa? Shenemar ledo ro seichem. Here you see in the Tanaic source that very point that the Gemara made, that from Ledoro Sechem we see that Chala is binding even through the Shemitah year. Now we would ask, well, Veligmar Minoa, why not use that as a precedent and say just like Chala is binding during the Shemitah year, even though there's burning associated with it in potential, so too with regard to the Bechor Halacha of a Behema Shemias. The Gemara answers, no, I don't use Chalo as a precedent for the din of Bechor. Hosam ikur la'achila. In the case of Chalo, Chalo is something tithed from dough, which its primary purpose is to be eaten. It's true, if it becomes tame, it needs to be burnt. But its primary purpose is for eating, which is in consistency with the expectations of Shvius, so it's fine. Hocho, however, in the case of Bechor, initially when you bring the Bechor, it is destined to have these innards burnt. Hocho ikur l'sreifa. Therefore, that's in too stark a contrast or in defiance or in opposition to the expectations of Shvius, which is la'ochla and not l'sreifa. The Gemara continues with a quote from the Mishnah, which said, Nosnoi l'kohen, Ein hakohen rashoi l'kaimoi ad shiyafrish se tachtov. The Mishnah taught that if the owner of the Petach Hamor gave the Petach Hamor itself without redeeming it, gave it to a Kohen, the Kohen shall not keep it until he sets aside a seh. In other words, he must immediately set aside a seh and not be in a situation where he keeps the Petach Hamor around. Tanina laha de Tanarabana. We have a brisa whose basis can be seen in our Mishnah. The source says, Yisrael shoyo lo petach hamor besoch beiso, a Yisrael, non-Kohen, who happened to have a firstborn male donkey in his rishus, in his domain, v'omar lo ha-Kohen, and a Kohen turned to the Yisrael and said, Tenehu li vani evdehu, give me the firstborn male donkey, and I will take care of its redemption. Hareze lo yitnu lo, elim kein podoi befonov. The Yisrael is instructed, do not give the petach hamor to the Kohen, unless he redeems it in front of you. Omar of Nachman, Omar Rabba Baravua. Zois Omeris, this shows us, Nechshedu HaKoyanim Al Pitre Chamorim. The Kohanim are suspect with regard to redemption of firstborn male donkeys. What's the suspicion? We suspect that they will, if they are given these animals, the petach hamors, they will use them without bothering to redeem them. So the Gemara says, pshita, even without Rav Nachman's observation, just by learning the source, that would be obvious. It said, you don't give it to him unless he redeems it in front of you. Isn't that enough of an illustration or manifestation of our suspicion? Mahu detema. I would have thought, hani mili, without Rav Nachman, I would have thought, well, that there is room to suspect, hecho demachzik lon demikri. Rashi has two explanations on this, and let's glance at that. Rashi says, mahu detema, hani mili, delo yitnenu, the source, the Tanaic source that says, don't give it to him, that's hecho demachzik lon bay, demikri, Choshud, that he's considered, he's called suspect. Sha'ra'inuhu shenechshav, we saw him do this already. We saw him take petach hamors and work with them and use them and benefit from them without doing pidyon. However, if we didn't see it, there would be no problem. Lishnachrin, another explanation. Demikri dechazinon lei disrami v'ovar avoda. The petach hamor kodem pidyon. The word mikri means not that he's considered called a chashud, but that we saw him. We actually saw him use the petach hamor. So Rashi's first pshat is he's mikri chashud shereinu shenech shad badover. We saw him to be suspect in this. And here it's we saw him actually use it before the redemption. The fine difference between these two approaches of Rashi seems to be that one is that we know him to have a reputation of being suspect, and the second one is that we actually saw him using it. However, without Rav Nachman, Avol Bistamo, the Gemara goes on, just a neutral Kohen, lo, I wouldn't have said such a thing. Komash Malon, Rav Nachman tells us that all Kohanim fall under this category of suspicion. The Moira bo hetera. There is a tendency for them to rationalize, saying that since the se that's set aside as pidyon anyway will be mine, so why do I have to go through the motions of setting aside a se for redemption? Well, that's the problem. Since they will rationalize their behavior, we preempt them by saying you're not going to get the chamor, the petach chamor, unless we see you redeeming it on a set. The Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, we have a nosei and mivne heading. You see this. This geometric shape and the word mace we've written next to it. This word mace will be surrounded by this geometric shape. Shnei mikrim shel miso. It'll be two cases of something dying. The first part of the Mishnah deals with mace hapidyon, the se that's set aside for redemption purposes, that it dies. The second part of the Mishnah will deal with mace hapeter chamor atzmo, where the donkey itself, the firstborn male donkey itself that requires pidyon, that it dies. We will explain further as we go on in the Mishnah. Hamafrish pidyon petach hamor. We've labeled this as Roman numeral number 1 so as to be able to break the Mishnah down into two separate cases. Someone set aside a sheep for redeeming a firstborn male donkey. Umeis, and that sheep died. Rebbe Lezer Omer, Chayovin Bachriuso, the owner of this Petach Hamor has to replace the Chayov Bachriuso, means there's a guarantee that that is part of this halacha, and that he has to make good on it. So he has to replace it, Kechomesh Sloim Shel Ben. Similar to a case where a father had a firstborn male child. We're talking, of course, about a person, a father of a baby boy, and he set aside the five pieces of silver needed for redeeming his Bechor, his Bechor baby child, and the money got lost or was stolen, he has to replace it. And just like with regard to Pidyon HaBen, we say there's a Chiyuv Achrayus, so too, with Pidyon Petach Hamor, if something happened to the seh that you set aside, you have to replace that. V'chachomim omrim ein chayovim b'achriyuso. With regard to Petach Hamor, there is no obligation of replacing. Kipidyon Meiser Sheni, just like is the case with the redeemed Meiser Sheni tithe. The Meiser Sheni are fruits that one brings to Yerushalayim, one-tenth of one's harvest on the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the agricultural cycle. He brings one-tenth of the fruits to Yerushalayim, and if he can't bring all of the fruits, he has an option of redeeming it, transferring their sanctity onto money. Let's say he had some Meiser Sheni fruits that he redeemed onto money. Of course, the fruits thereby become regular chulin, mundane fruits, and you can eat them wherever you like. The money that was set aside in anticipation of bringing the cash to Yerushalayim and buying food there and eating it, that money, though, got lost or stolen. What is the law then? There is no need to replace that money. There's no achrayas, no chiv achrayas. So the Chachamim say that we will view the Peter Hamor like Pidyon Meiser Sheni. Hayid Rabbi Yeshua Rabbi Tzadok al Pidyon Petach Hamor Shemes She'ein Kan L'Koin Klum. So Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Tzadok communicated a tradition that there is no achrayas on the Pidyon Petach Hamor, in the case of that, the sheep that was set aside and it died before it got to the Kohen. New case, Meis Petach Hamor. A person had a firstborn male donkey, and he had set aside a sheep as its redemption. In the meantime, the sheep has not yet been given to the Kohen. The donkey dies. Rav Elazar Omer Yikover Umuter Behanoso Sheltle. The donkey must be buried, and the one can benefit from the tle, from the sheep. Ein tzorach likover, it does not have to be buried. Utle le kohen, and the tle, the sheep, is to be given to a kohen. The Tanakama said, well, if the Petach Hamor dies, so that it shall be buried. But the tle, you can keep it for yourself. As we go on in the Gemara, we will notice a volcano form, which will be reversing its position as we go on in the Gemara, narrow part up, narrow part down. This is in order for us to be able to keep track of the give and take or back and forth nature of this discussion. Omar of Yosef, my taimo de Rebbe Eliezer. Why does he feel that there is achrayas when it comes to the pidyon Petach Hamor? Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Ach podoi sifte, and it goes on to say, Es b'chor ha'adam, ves b'chor ha'behemo ha'tameo tifte. So in this pasuk, there's a reference to b'chor adam, firstborn human being, and firstborn donkey. Ma b'chor adam chayav b'achriyuso, just like by b'chor adam, the father has to replace the money that he set aside for redeeming his son, if something happens to the money. Af b'chor behemot tameo chayav b'achriyuso. Likewise, with the firstborn donkey, that which was set aside to serve as its redemption, if something happens to that sheep, it must be replaced. Amalei Abaye. Abaye asks, he raises a question, and that's why we have this trapezoid form flipped over. Ima b'chor odom muter b'hano af b'chor behemot tameo muter b'hano. if it's so that by Bechor Adam we know that a child that hasn't been redeemed, nevertheless one can benefit from him, the redemption is not a restricting factor with regard to benefit. Af Bechor Beim Atmea Mutter, you want to say the same thing, the unredeemed donkey is also mutter, and if you say, well, that's true, v'hotnan, but you can't say that because we have in our Mishnah the following, it taught, Meis Peter Hamor, Rebbe Eliezer Omer Yikover. If the Peter Hamor dies, well, Rebbe Eliezer holds, it must be buried. Ma Yikover, this idea of burying it, Lav de Oser Bano, isn't it an indication that it's something that is forbidden to benefit from? And therefore, the only thing that you can do with it is to bury it. Loi, no, not true. It's not an indication that it's osur b'hano, but rather yikover kibechor adam. In fact, we want to maintain this parallel between bechor adam, in which we said there's a chiyuv achrayus, so too by Peter Chamor, the Pidyon Peter Chamor, there's a chiyuv achrayus, and just like by Bechor Adam, you bury a human, you bury the Bechor if a firstborn child dies, it's buried, so too the Peter Chamor is to be buried. The Gemara asks, Ella, well, according to what you just said, if we take it at face value, or literally, it comes out, Ella Adam Bechor hu deboi kvura poshut lo boi kvura. Only firstborn people need burying, and regular people don't need burying. That's ridiculous. The Oid Tanya, and furthermore, we have a Tanaic source that says, "Moida Rabbi Lezer b'Yisrael sheshu sofek peter chamor besoch beso." Rabbi Lezer will concede that if a person has a doubtful firstborn male donkey, it's doubtful whether it's really a firstborn. Shemafrish tle olav v'hu shalo, that he must separate a sheep to remove the isur from it. So we see that there is an isur according to Rabbi Eliezer. It's true he separates the sheep, but the isur says he keeps it for himself. But the focus of this point right now is that which we've dashed underlined Rabbi Eliezer. And Shemafrish Tle, which indicates the separation of the Tle for the purpose of removing the prohibition. We therefore see that the Petach Hamor is prohibited from benefiting from it. So it's not like Bechor Adam. We see this lack of parallel. And if that be the case, so then why, with regard to the realm of Chiyuv Achrayus, does Rabbi Lezer say that there is Achrayus like Bechor Adam? Elo Omar Rava, Omar Kro. So Rava answers our question, and he says, Ach Podoy Sifdeh. And from this we learn, Lifdia Hikshesiv, with regard to rules of Pidyon, with the realm of Pidyon, Hikshesiv, we compare the Bechor Adam to the Petach Hamor, V'loi L'dover Acher, but not with regard to the realm of Hano'o, whereby by Bechor Adam one is allowed to benefit, and by the Petach Hamor, one is not allowed to benefit from it. As you can see, we have a slash marking in our Gemara indicating that which follows is a new idea. We have a topic heading that accompanies this on the outside margin called the Nosei. And we have written, Mahu Hazman Shel Pidyon Peter Chamor. What is the time frame in which the redemption of a Peter Chamor should take place? Miad, is it immediate? Maybe as soon as it's born, oy la'achar shloshim yom, or maybe after 30 days. Tanan hosam. There's a Tanaic source. It's a short source, but contains a lot of information. Ha'erichin b'shaitan. Erichin is a case where someone donates his Torah value to the Beis HaMikdash. Depending on a person's age, there are different age groupings and an amount of money associated with each one of them. So let us say a person at a lower priced age grouping, makes a dedication to the Beis HaMikdash of that amount, but he doesn't bring it, he doesn't actually set aside the money until he ages and lapses into a higher age bracket, a higher cost age bracket, so to speak. The source is telling us that he pays according to the rate that he was at the time he vowed, not at the time he is giving the money. Upidyon haben achar shloshim. Redemption of firstborn human child is after 30 days. Pidyon petach hamor la'alter. The redemption of a firstborn male donkey is immediate. The Gemara now asks, Upidyon petach hamor la'alter? Is that really so, that the redemption of a firstborn male donkey takes place immediately? Voraminu. For Amini, we raise another Tanaic source, which will seem to contradict this. Ein be'erachin ubepidyon haben ubenazirus ubepetach hamor pochos mishloishim umoisifin ad oilam. In this source, let us focus on that which is immediately germane to our discussion. We've dashed underlined petach hamor, and we've squiggled on the line, pochos mishloshim. It says here, in this source, also we also swill on the beginning of the source, ein. In other words, ein, bepetach hamor, pochos mishloshim. Which would say that you can't redeem it less than 30 days. But we saw in the source just before that petach hamor is redeemed immediately. In order to resolve this, we have several approaches. The first is Rav Nachman. We've called him number one. And at the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, we will see a second approach, which we call number two. And a third approach will appear, Rava, which we call number three. Omar Rav Nachman. The source that says that the pidyon petach hamor is la'alter, lomar, it tells us she'im podoi podoi. Well, that if he did it immediately, we call this bidi'evet. If he did it immediately, so it takes hold. It's a good redemption. In the same source, it taught pidyon haben achar shloshim. Now, if this source is on a bedi'evid level, so that immediacy with regard to petach hamor works, but only post facto, bedi'evid, it would stand to reason then that pidyon haben, if it were done immediately, it wouldn't take hold even bedi'evid. Michlal, we can infer from this then, debeno im podoi, eino podoi, that a child that's redeemed immediately would not be considered redeemed. But have we not learned hapoides benoi besoich shloishim yoim rav omar beno podui? Here we see that within 30 it does take hold. So the problem right now is the method that Rav Nachman gave for understanding the la'alter source leads us to a problem within the realm of Pidyon HaBen. The Gemara responds, Lav Itmar Allah, was it not said concerning the realm of Pidyon HaBen, Omar Rava, De Kule Alma Me Achshav Ein Beno Padui? Not like we quoted just now Rav as having said Beno Padui, but that if a person expects there to be an immediate redemption of Beno, in fact, it would not be redeemed. As far as what Rav's intention is over here, when he says that it would be Podui, that's a different case. And Rashi gives the background to that different case, but for the sake of streamlining our discussion, we won't get into that right now. But for our purposes, we have defended Rav Nachman's explanation of the Pidyon Petach Hamor La'alter. Once again, to review, that L'chadchila, it should be after 30 days, But if one does it immediately, it will take hold. And in contrast to that, if one were to redeem his firstborn human child immediately, it would not take hold. Rav Sheshes Omar. Rav Sheshes is a different, takes on a different approach. And that is that the mitzvah's pidyon petach hamor is in fact la'alter. It is la'alter, it is immediate. So what is it, what are we being taught here? We have two sources, of course. So the first source that says la'alter is telling me the way it should be done. The other source, the second source that says that there's no petach hamor pachos mishloshim, is telling me lomar she'eno oiver olav, that there is no violation of, let's say, lack of redemption within 30 days. However, after that point, there is an aveira. So according to Rav Sheshes, the la'alter source is really the lechatchila. This is where he differs from Rav Nachman's approach. And the source that speaks about there is nothing less than 30 days, that means there is no aveira within 30 days. However, after 30 days, there would be an aveira, an offense. Mosiv Rami Bar Chama. On this we ask, mitzvasoi kol shloshim yom, mikan vi'elech oy poideo oy orfo. The mitzvah of redeeming the petach hamor is during 30 days, within 30 days. Beyond that, either redeem it or break its neck. My lav, what is the understanding of this source? Mitzvah lishoso kol shloshim yom. Once again, the opening of the source says mitzvaso kol shloshim yom. The initial understanding, as far as Rami Bar Chama is concerned, is that it's a mitzvah to keep it around for 30 days and not to redeem it immediately. If you learn it like that, you would be posing a question on Rav Sheshes. Response, loy. Mitzvah levdoisoi kol shloshim yom. There is a mitzvah to redeem it within the first 30 days. Beyond that, there will be an avera. If you tarry beyond 30 days, you will be in offense. Ihachi, if that be the case, then the expression of this source should have been different. It should have said as follows, mikan ve'elech, beyond 30 days, o podeo, o oiver olav, either redeem it or be in violation. Mi boyale, that's what it should have said. Well, it doesn't read like that. And as such, it presents a problem then for Rav Sheshes' approach. Elo Omar Rava. Rava will tell you that really there is a mitzvah to keep it around for 30 days. As far as this mitzvah called Shloshim, it's a mitzvah to keep it around for 30 days. What about the source that said that there is redemption immediately, which would seem to contradict this? Lo kashya, there is no contradiction. Ha Rebbe Eliezer, the mitzvah, the source that indicates that it's a mitzvah to keep it around for 30 days. In other words, and not redeem it within 30 days. That's according to the Tana Rebbe Eliezer, the Makshi, who makes a hekesh, who compares Bechor Behemo Tmeya, who compares the Petach Hamor to the Adam. We already saw this before. We saw Rebbe Eliezer compare them with regard to Achrayas. He compares Bechor Adam with Petach Hamor. So just like Bechor Adam is not within 30 days, you don't redeem him within 30 days, so to the Petach Hamor, you don't redeem it within 30 days. Ha Rabbanan, the source that spoke about the redemption of the Petach Hamor immediately, that's in accordance with the Rabbanan, the Lo Makshi, that don't make this comparison. Here we have a Mishnah, and it's one of the rare cases in the Shas that you have a Mishnah presented without any Gemara commentary on it. So you see that the Perek concludes with the reading of this Mishnah. We've included in our Mishnah a series marking. We have triangles with colored in tips. They are explained under the Nosei Mivne heading. Sidro Shel Mitzvos. We have a series of different mitzvos. Sheyesh Bohem Shnei Efshorius Lekaimom. Within each mitzvah presented, there are multiple ways of fulfilling the Torah expectation. HaMishnah Melamed Mahu Seder HaDifus B'chol Echo Mehem. Which the Mishnah teaches us an order of priority within each mitzvah, which approach should be preferred. The Mishnah. Lo rotzo livdoisoi, if a person didn't want to redeem the Petach Hamor, or foi me'achoro v'kovro, so he shall break the donkey's neck from behind and then bury it. From this we see mitzvahs hapadiyo kodemes lemitzvahs arifa. The mitzvah of redeeming preempts the mitzvah of arifa, of breaking the neck. In other words, given a choice, there's preference given to the mitzvah of the procedure or the mitzvah of redemption. Shneamar, the pasuk says im loisif, that if you don't do the pinyon, then va'arafto, then you break its neck. In another unrelated realm, mitzvahs ya'ida kodemes lemitzvahs hapadiya. This involves a person who sells his daughter into servitude to another family, and the case of the Amo Ivriya who sold into servitude, the Torah has an expectation that the man that buys her shall marry her. That is called Yi'ud. There is an option, though, for her to buy herself, let's say, free, or for her to be bought free prior to the end of her service period through pidyon, pidya. So we're told here that mitzvahs ye'ido kodemes lemitzvahs pidya shenemar, asher lo ya'ada, the Torah says that if he doesn't marry her, then vehefda, then she could be redeemed. Mitzvahs hayibum kodemes lemitzvahs chalitza barishona. Before going on, just note that we have a little aleph accompanying this section to indicate there are really two stages to this particular point. Yibum is the mitzvah in where a person who was married died, leaving a widow, but at the same time leaving no children. If he has a surviving brother, he is expected to marry the widow of his deceased brother. So if Reuven dies without leaving children, Shimon, his brother, is expected to marry the widow of his brother Reuven. That's called Yibum. In the event that Shimon does not want to take her as a wife, there is a shoe removal ceremony where the widow removes a shoe from the foot of Shimon, and that's called Chalitza. That enables her to then marry whomever she wants afterwards. Mitzvahs hayibum koidemes lemitzvahs chalitza borishona shohayu miskavnim l'shem mitzvah. In the early days, early generations, when people had a purity of thought and their marriage of their sister-in-law was for mitzvah purposes, as to fulfill the Torah's expectation, then under those circumstances, the yibum would preempt chalitza. However, the achshav shein miskavnim l'shem mitzvah, but nowadays where people are not motivated by the simple fulfillment of the mitzvah, but have other, let's say, personal, possibly lustful intentions in entering this marriage. So then we say, Umru mitzvahs chalitza kodemes lemitzvahs yibum. Under such more contemporary circumstances, we would prefer the chalitza being done over the yibum. Mitzvahs hageula ba'adoin hu kodem l'chol adam. This involves a person who dedicates a behemoth to the bedek habayis. This person dedicates an animal to the temple repair fund. It's a donation, a dedication. There is an option of having the animal bought out or redeemed from the Beis Hamikdash fund. So the Mishnah tells us that the mitzvah hagula, this redemption of the dedicated animal, ba'odon, through the original owner, he is the preferred one to do the redemption. That's Kodem Lecholdem Shinemar. It says, V'leim lo yigal, if the owner doesn't do the redemption, V'nimkar be'erkecha, so then it can be redeemed through others. But as we said, there's an order of priority featured here, and that's it being done through the one who made the initial dedication. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.